I could explore this experience that I had growing up in the manner that I've done today. And that is with a spirit of curiosity. And I'm so thankful for that work that I did in my mid-30s so that these stories didn't trigger me to anger. They help me contain now this spirit of curiosity and wonder.
For anyone with a passion, old or new, you completely understand the time, the effort, the love, sweat, and tears that it takes to complete a project, a painting, a quilt, a new build, a new idea, and in this case, a podcast. Welcome to The Safe Haven, a space for stories to be shared about the lights and darks, highs and lows of life. I'm going to read you the intro blurb for Tara Jean Stevens' podcast called Heaven Bent on the Frequency Podcast Network. On January 20th, 1994, strange things started to happen at a small Christian church in Toronto, Canada. Worshippers found themselves laughing, shaking, falling, rolling around on the ground. That was only the beginning. How did the church suddenly become one of Toronto's top tourist attractions? Was something supernatural truly happening? Did gold teeth miraculously appear in people's mouths? Tara Jean Stevens was a teenager when this bizarre movement spread across from Toronto to her childhood church on the other side of the country. More than 25 years later, join Tara Jean as she explores what really happened on this examination of divine intervention. I had the opportunity to chat with Tara Jean a few weeks ago about this incredible project. But before we dive in, Tara Jean, tell us a little bit about yourself.
My name is Tara Jean Stevens. I'm a broadcaster, an actress, and a storyteller, and as of recently, a podcaster. And I'm the host of Heaven Bent on the Frequency Podcast Network,
which I binged on my road trip across Canada a couple weeks ago.
I love hearing that it was binge-worthy.
Oh, it was. It was really good. And I guess as a podcaster too, I just really fell into what I figured were the logistics of even putting that together and overlapping things and the research that you did and the history that you dug into and the sound that you put into it, the music, just the audio files that you were able to incorporate. I was blown away, to be honest.
Well, a huge part of it when I first started the, you know, exploration and the research was about securing access, like securing permissions for some of the audio that I use in the piece, because it is so much about the spiritual and religious experience of the people involved in this spiritual movement, the Toronto Blessing, that I wanted to commit to having only real stuff. I didn't want to make up any pretend soundscapes. So Everything that you hear in the podcast are legit, authentic moments of worship. Some of them sound very unusual.
Oh, they do. So for anyone listening right now, can you give us an overview of what Heaven Bent is?
Yeah, Heaven Bent is, I call it an examination of divine intervention overall. But in season one, I focus on a spiritual movement called the Toronto Blessing, which started in a tiny little church near Toronto's Pearson International Airport, right there in Toronto. And it started on January 20th, 1994, when during what could have been just a regular church service, people started shaking, laughing hysterically, uncontrollably, falling to the ground. And what unraveled from there was 12 and a half years of this kind of bizarre phenomena happening in that church and spreading to connected churches, which is how I became involved with it when this weird stuff started happening in my church in Prince Rupert. So Heaven Bent is me kind of looking back at my childhood and my teenage years to figure out what that was all about, because over the years, I'm not willing as much anymore to just take, this was Jesus, this was God, and sometimes God does strange things. That answer just wasn't good enough for me anymore. So that's how Heaven Bent came about.
Mm-hmm. When did you start doing the actual deep dive research into this?
So I started a year and a half ago, like January 2019. And I was actually at that point in my life in the very middle of taking a year off of work. So before that time, I was pretty busy, high profile jobs in radio. I had been a television host on breakfast television in Vancouver. And I made a decision to quit my job, sell our home. Me and my husband, we took our kids out of school and we traveled around the world for a while. And when we got back from our trip, I had nothing to do. I didn't have a job right away. And all of a sudden I went, hey, I think I'm going to make a podcast. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of just, it was as organic as that. It wasn't something I thought about for a really long time. I just all of a sudden had time on my hands and I took advantage of it.
Mm-hmm. And then that would have taken you in because it released during COVID-19 and kind of that lockdown timeframe. It released June 1st, correct?
It released June 1st. Yeah. And I will say, I mean, we kind of rushed it at the end there, although I'm completely proud of the end result. But we kind of went, there's an audience ready to hear a new podcast right now. Let's share this.
So you did kind of put it all together just to make sure that it could go out around that time?
Yeah. I originally had planned actually for it to be sort of rolled out slowly, maybe a bit more in-depth look into things and maybe even up to 12 episodes in the mm-hmm. first season. But at the end, I mean, I think it was really about making sure that I held people's interest the whole time too. So having, you know, 5 episodes of really juicy content, which I think is what I pulled off, I think is giving people a pretty great listening experience.
Yeah, absolutely. And you said season 1. So what's coming? Are you working on season 2 yet?
Yeah, I'm working on some bonus episodes right now to just sort of, tiptoe through the middle period. And then I am actively working on season 2 right now. So I've gone back to the very beginning of this new process that I've developed because I didn't know how to make a podcast when I started 1.5 years ago. I definitely do now. And so I think that the process is going to be a whole lot smoother. I know all of the steps involved and where not to waste my time. Mm-hmm. And so I'm at that stage right now where I'm sending out emails to people who are involved in the spiritual movement that I'm going to be looking into next. And I'm also, again, securing that really precious audio that I know is what makes Heaven Bent so special.
Mm-hmm. Talking about Heaven Bent in particular, there were some really interesting people that you were interviewing and that you were talking to when you were traveling around to gain that content for it. Did you find that there were some people, or did you have to cut audio out from people that just had no interest in talking about this or were really adverse to actually have that conversation?
No, everyone that agreed to do an interview with me, we'd already been through those steps. I mean, I was actually really surprised at how many people, not knowing me, were willing to share such intimate testimonies. I'm not a Christian now. I don't go to church anymore, but I wasn't about to take the spiritual movement and the people who shared their stories with me and rip them to shreds. I think that I accomplished this. I wanted to create a space, a podcast space where we could talk about it and spiritual movements and things like this in a thoughtful and respectful way. And kind of a space where no matter what you believe, you can hear a bunch of information and make up your own mind too.
Mm-hmm. So again, for the people that are listening that haven't started the binge fest that is Heaven Bent.
The binge fest.
Are you able to kind of share your own personal experience with this that happened? Because I guess within that time that you were in BC, had you heard of the things going on in Toronto prior to it happening in BC? Or did it just happen and then you guys started to connect the dots?
Yeah, I only connected the dots as an adult when I started to research this. So when I was growing up in a preteen and a teenager in Prince Rupert, we used to always go to these youth conventions in Kelowna and mm-hmm. Kamloops. We'd take these big, you know, road trips with all of the other teenagers. And when we would go to these youth conventions, that's where I first started seeing, you know, people shaking and falling to the ground. It's where they told me it was possible for that to happen to me. And then it did. And it was always something. It was always something I thought was normal. It was special, but I didn't think, you know, it was the adults told me that this is what was going to happen and it did. So I just went through life thinking, all right, that's just how we roll. Mm-hmm. But there were a couple memories that I had where things got really weird. And that's really the bulk of, and the climax of Heaven Bent is in relation to a memory I have. Mm-hmm. I was about 19 at the time. So right before I left the church, and a group of people had come back from Toronto. And all I knew is that they'd been to a church in Toronto. I didn't know that there was a larger spiritual movement and revival that changed, you know, the way that the charismatic church unrolled in North America, like any of this kind of stuff that I get into. They just said that while they had been in this service in Toronto, that God had miraculously given them gold molars. And throughout my adult life, I remembered this, but over time thought that maybe it was a dream. there's no way that grown adults stood in front of us and said this. And it turns out they did say this and that it was part of the phenomena associated with the Toronto blessing. And it's something that I take a really serious look at. You know, did gold flakes fall from the sky? Did something really unexplainable happen here? Or is there an even more, you know, scientific-based explanation, a more, an explanation that has more to do with humanity and social aspects of our lives.
I love, and I'm not going to give too much away, but I loved listening. There was that one interview or the one conversation that you had with the older woman.
Melinda Fish.
Yes.
Isn't she a character?
Yes. So interesting to listen to.
She's the delight of my podcast. I love her. I love her.
So I guess, have you maintained any sort of contact with these people or was it just kind of more business related?
Well, I was really scared actually when the podcast was done to email everyone who had so graciously, you know, shared their intimate testimonies with me. So vulnerable, right? Like really setting themselves up to be criticized because these stories are really weird, you know, that they trusted me with these stories. I was scared to let them know because I knew they would listen and then give me their feedback. Mm-hmm. And so far, you know, there's a couple people that I think maybe just aren't checking their Facebook messages, but, you know, most of the people have got back and really thoroughly enjoyed it. People who are still involved with the movement today. I've even heard from the leaders of the church now who have enjoyed listening to the journey as well. So I know that I accomplished my goal, which was I want to make sure that anyone who becomes involved in my podcast, whether it's from a Christian point of view, from a scientific point of view, from an atheist point of view, a non-believer, someone who maybe grew up in the church and has issues with it now, maybe even some trauma. I just wanted to make sure that no matter who you were, that you would come out the other end feeling happy about your involvement. And that's so far the feedback I've been getting. One guy who is involved in the podcast, his name was T.R. Post. I think, although he didn't say he regretted being involved, he's concerned for my soul. He thinks that because I'm questioning God and Jesus in this way and questioning the revival, that it could negatively impact me. And his belief is like that it's opened me up to the devil's work sort of thing. So that's how extreme it is. But in his life, he turns that into, I'm going to pray for you and just step back.
Mm-hmm. In the podcast, you were examining whether or not this was something that people just did because people around them were doing. You know, it's like, well, they're laughing and making funny noises, so maybe I will. And then it just kind of has that perceived full range of noises, falling down, the entire experience, people laying on the floor, convulsing, all of these things.
Is this simply peer pressure?
Exactly. Right? Okay, like I was going to use the word peer pressure, but I didn't know if that was correct. So
No, I mean, that's the basic, simplest answer. You know, because what I do in there is in the podcast is give a lot of different possible answers and you can pick and choose. I mean, you could be a Christian, even someone who believes in this movement and still think that there was an aspect of peer pressure involved. I mean, it's not, sometimes it doesn't have to be a simple answer. It can be really convoluted and have a lot of, you know, different elements to it. And peer pressure is definitely something I looked at, but I can say right now without giving too much away that there is a deeper and far more curious answer to that than just simple peer pressure.
Mm-hmm. And even with your own personal experience, this was something having firsthandedly done or experienced and felt and been through.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which gives so much to the validity of it, you know, when you're speaking from personal experience. That's why I found it so intriguing just to sit there and listen to. And the recording that you've captured, the audio files that you have access to that are of these events and this phenomenon happening, it's borderline creepy at times to hear what's happening in these rooms and the noises that are coming out of people's mouths.
It's funny that you should say that because, I mean, some of the audio that you hear, I actually recorded myself at a conference that I attended in Toronto at the very start of my research. It just happened to be that the month that I decided to start researching this, you know, what had happened to me in my life and I was led to the Toronto Blessing and what happened there. It just happened to be the 25th anniversary of this spiritual movement, of the night it started. And so I went to the 25th anniversary conference and was surprised to see that a lot of the strange phenomena is still happening today. I mean, maybe I wasn't so surprised. I know people from the church that they're still involved, but a lot of the recordings I have that, you know, I use in the podcast to reflect what it sounds like in those spaces was recorded there. And when I first shared it in sort of a demo with the people at the Frequency Podcast Network, they said, let's maybe not start with that audio right off the bat. It sounds kind of creepy and scary. Mm-hmm. And I thought, really? Oh, so I'm not surprised to hear you kind of explain it that way either. I think over the course of the podcast, you become more familiar with the sounds mm-hmm. and it becomes, I don't know. Maybe that's just me. I feel like maybe it's not as surprising as you move along, but you're hearing new sounds and new moments throughout the podcast. Mm-hmm. So I guess in a way it does still stay fairly fresh.
I also think because for so many people that have never and will never experience anything like that, to hear that on a serious level, like it's not a joke. Do you know what I mean? So people aren't making these noises as a joke. You know, it's an experience. It's something that's happened to them. In a large group of people. So I think that maybe that's kind of what adds that eerie tone to it, the fact that there was maybe that the loss of control or that.
Yeah, it's a space where people are 100% welcome to follow their most unusual impulses, whether you believe those impulses are, you know, supernatural based, coming from God, coming from, some people who believe, who are Christians, think that what happened in Toronto was straight up of the devil and demons. There's a lot of different ways that you might, you know, perceive these sounds. And I think that's what makes these moments so special.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Tara Jean, you and I could like nerd out on podcast all day long.
Podcast.
Oh my gosh, like geek mode for sure. But you've said a couple things even as we started recording that I'm super interested in. And I want to get to know a little bit more about you. And you mentioned taking some significant time off and traveling the world with your family. Where did you go?
Well, we visited, I think, 12 countries total. We live in Vancouver, based in Vancouver, and we really followed our whimsy. So we didn't book too far ahead. We didn't know when it was going to end or where we were going to go. We just got, you know, family backpacks, you know, daddy size, mama size, and we have two kids. How old were they when we were traveling? 6 and 10, I guess. And we just left. I had a flight booked to Halifax. We spent some time there. Then we wound up in Paris. We did France, Spain, Portugal, Italy, Greece, Cyprus, quick stop in Egypt, although it was just at the airport. And I regret not spending more time there, especially now that I feel like we're not going to travel for a while. Mm-hmm. And then after that, we jumped to Thailand, Malaysia, Bali. And then eventually at that point, the kids were a bit homesick. So we decided to make our way home.
What an experience.
It was incredible. I had no regrets about it before, but especially now with the pandemic and the limits on traveling and, you know, that it may impact our travel life and our potential trips for years to come at this point. So I'm really glad that we showed our kids the world and kind of infused them with that adventurous spirit.
Oh, for sure. What did you find were the biggest challenges to navigate while you were traveling around as a family?
I think it was just right off the bat. You know, my husband and I, obviously, it was surprised us that we were a little on edge for the first couple of weeks of our trip because we'd really untethered ourselves from the world. We had nothing to, we had no home to go back to at this point. All of our money was in the bank. And we're suddenly in Europe trying to teach our kids how to be travelers. Don't touch all that. How do you go on the, and then things just sort of settled in. And then, you know, by the time we got to Spain, the kids knew how to tackle some, you know, the transit system in Barcelona. We let my daughter be the navigator. And by the time we left that city, she knew it up and down. And now she has the confidence to, you know, go into any city, I'm sure, and figure out how to get around, just using her wherewithal and knowing who to ask for help. But also, I just love hearing from my daughter, especially. She's 11 now. She can't wait to return to some of the places that we went to as an adult. And I can't wait for that moment to happen and just hear of her new experiences.
Mm-hmm. That's really incredible. So you have a daughter and a son?
Yeah.
And they felt the same way about it? Like they both just super stoked on travel when it happens again, when they're adults?
Yeah, 100%. And I mean, they even now are like, are we ever going to do that again? Yeah, probably not. That was it was kind of a midlife crisis for me, I think, was just, you know, I was about to turn 40. And I remember I was just like, just feeling like I needed a break. I had gone so full force, especially with my career during the 30s while I was popping out a couple kids. And I just sort of like felt like I had hit a wall. Mm-hmm. And I know not everybody is going to go as dramatic as I did and uproot their entire family and go around the world. But that pause and taking that break to just focus on my family and not have any of my attention focused on work, even though it was a major financial risk for our family, the result of that is this podcast. I had the time to work on it and sort of plant the baby seeds of it. And so now I'm back at work and I'm still able to kind of do both now. But this project, Heaven Bent, would not be here if I hadn't taken that time off.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. What does your husband do for work?
Well, my husband's actually a sound tech. So he lost his job back in February. He's like freelance. He does like festivals and conventions. And I mean, here in British Columbia, one of the like pivotal moments when the pandemic started was this dental convention that happened mm-hmm. downtown. And he was actually working at that convention center during that breakout. So he actually got, the medical people even called him up and said, hey, we just want you to know that we cleared you. You weren't in any of the facilities where these people were. But it was something that kind of put us on edge right at the bat. He's been home ever since. And thank the sweet Lord for the CERB.
Yes. I feel so grateful to live where we do for the support that we have financially. Oh my gosh. So he was a sound tech even prior to when you guys were going to be going traveling. That was something that allowed him to just kind of pull back from that job and come back to that.
Exactly. So he was freelance anyway. So he just said, hey, don't call me for work anymore. And we weren't expecting to come back to Vancouver. Honestly, we thought we were going to travel for a whole lot longer, maybe settle down in one place for some time, maybe even put the kids in an international school. There's a lot of that going on in Bali and Thailand. Mm-hmm. But when the kids got homesick, we felt like, okay, we've had half the school year off. Let's get them back into the school and they can finish that grade without much of a hiccup. You know, nobody's going to really notice that we're gone, we took our kids out. Yeah. But, you know, in regards to taking the kids out of the school, it really depends. You're legally allowed to do that. But the principal of their school was really supportive of the journey and agreed with us that the kids were going to experience more on that trip than they would in the 4 months of being back at school. And I do believe that's what happened. And my husband is also a really great teacher. So he was able to help them focus on things during our trip that they were maybe not doing so well in school. And then we also used the trip as the education. So, you know, like when we were in Greece, there was an earthquake. So we learned about earthquakes. When, you know, we learned about food and cooking and the joyous use of butter when we were in France and like stuff like that.
Yeah, it's going to be an experience that they're never, ever going to be able to kind of repeat at the level that they did so intensively with you guys. I admire that so much, so, so much. And anytime that I hear about people traveling as a family and using that real world experience to educate their family, I think it's so cool.
Yeah, it was the best. It was like, even just thinking about it right now, I just want to like, I wish I could just hop on a plane and take off, but that is just not happening.
Had you done much traveling yourself like pre-kids?
Yeah. Me and my husband were both travelers. We'd done, you know, he'd done quite a bit of the world. And so had I. I mean, right off the bat, when I graduated from high school, within a year or whatever, I was backpacking around Europe. I did that on my own. We've spent a lot of time making our way through the States and Mexico. And it definitely is like a vibe of our family for sure. Mm.
Yeah, I love that so much. And I wanted to ask you just a couple more podcasty questions, just only because now I'm super intrigued thinking about this Heaven Bent and your own personal experience in that. And now having had the time to deep dive into what that was, you're kind of alluding to a season two. So you're not going to keep deep diving into the Toronto Blessing. You're going to be going into something else?
It's connected. It's okay. a spiritual movement that's connected to the Toronto Blessing. It's sort of like the evolution. You know, I touch a little bit on, you know, where did the Toronto Blessing come from historically? And you can connect it back to the beginning of the Vineyard Movement and California and, you know, a group of people in Southern California that really believed in supernatural signs and wonders when it comes to Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit, manifestations and, you know, the shaking and the falling and all that kind of stuff. It was an extension of that. Well, in the future, I'm going to look at what did the Toronto Blessing lead to? And for that, I am going to be heading back to California, and season two will be in the same world, but it's a different story. It's definitely got more of an American spin. It's a bit more scandalous, and it's also going to have a darker tone to it as well, because it gives me the opportunity to explore and touch on some things that I didn't so much in season one, which is, you know, within a Christian upbringing, The aspect of the devil and demons, exorcisms, you know, the image of Satan in pop culture in North America, and just the overall concept of evil. Is that a myth? Is that a concept? Is it something real in this world? Is there some kind of dark, unknowing presence that meddles with our life? I'm going to, again, explore that and try to get as factual and scientific as I can about it.
I already can't wait. Everything you're just saying, I'm like, ooh, that is going to be incredible.
I can't wait too.
Yeah, I bet. Okay, so let's link travel and podcasting. I mean, even as myself, my preference is to record in person with people so that I can kind of feel their energies and hold space for them physically. But obviously with the way of the world right now, right? We're doing such a, even you and I right now, we're both in BC, but we're like 7.5 hours apart. So
yeah. And if this wasn't happening right now, me and you would be sitting at some picnic table with a microphone between us, having a cider and having a gab, or in a studio like I'm in right now. But yeah, this is not happening now. So
You've had to shift a lot of it.
Oh yeah. But I mean, everybody is, right? So I'm doing all of my interviews via Zoom. But you know, I did that pre-pandemic for Heaven Bent as well, because I was working for home. I wasn't working at the time, so I didn't have access to a professional studio. I wasn't, you know, locked in with the Frequency Podcast Network yet. So we are able to create things like this from home. You know, I did it. I'm a testament. I made season one of Heaven Bent primarily from my kitchen and my little office.
Again, the geek out of podcasting. I mean, I'm currently actually sitting on our bed with my mic stand and my mic and my Mac and my Zoom and my phone and my notepad.
Hunched over, like, trying to hold everything together and not make sounds. Sure.
I know. And actually, one of the things that I have found to be the most challenging just as of late is trying to have that space. I mean, even right now in a cusp, we're on a quite a busy road. So every now and then you have someone just punch by on a motorcycle that's really loud, or, and I kind of like have my hands around the end of the mic, or, or there'll be like a big logging truck that goes by or something like that, or the dog will bark. So it's been quite an interesting experience. But the most beautiful thing for me, and probably for you too, that has come out of COVID-19 and this lockdown and physically distancing ourselves from other people, is that my entire guest list has now gone worldwide.
Right.
And that's been so exciting, because then you're...
And it's not weird for them. They're like, oh yeah, I know Zoom now.
Yeah. I have a couple more questions that are kind of safe haven style questions for you. And I always love just kind of throwing these at my guests towards the end. So what are you most proud of?
I think I mentioned it earlier. I'm most proud of that I was able to explore my experience and have people be involved in this storytelling experience, this podcast, sharing their intimate stories without them walking away thinking I'd rip them to shreds, without me disrespecting their time and their personal experiences. That was really, really important to me. And when I first started, I didn't know how I was going to do that. And honestly, I talked with other networks even that wanted to be involved with Heaven Bent before I signed with Frequency. And they wanted me to go down a different path. They wanted it to be super culty, super tear it to shreds, really go dark. And that didn't feel right to me. I did a lot of counseling and psychological like therapy before I was able to get to the point where I could explore this experience that I had growing up in the manner that I've done today. And that is with a spirit of curiosity. And I'm so thankful for that work that I did in my mid-30s so that these stories didn't trigger me to anger. They helped me contain now this spirit of curiosity and wonder. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just something that makes the world a more interesting place instead of, it's wrong. It's not based in reality. How dare you lie to me? So I feel just like I feel like a better human being at the end of this, that I was able to pull it off and that I've come through it. And now I can head into my 40s now without any of that baggage on me. And I did hear from a few people, you know, who said, hey, you should have a trigger warning at the beginning of some of those episodes. People who had grown up in the church, who had had experiences like I did, maybe a bit harsher. I mean, for me, nothing terrible happened to me. It was just whether or not the experiences were true or false. I don't think that my episodes need a trigger warning, but I hope it does trigger in some people this path of healing. this path of talking it out with somebody who's maybe not from the church to sort out for yourself what was real in your life and what was not.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to have a part B to that.
Yeah.
Can you elaborate a little bit more on where you feel that anger would have stemmed from in this?
I think that it stems back from feeling like a waste of my time, a waste of my life, a waste of my, I think of myself as a really productive person. I have a real drive for success, and I'm an artist. Creativity is really important to me and creative process. And I think I wasted a lot of my teenage years and some of my early 20s basing decisions in my life on the church, on Christianity, on my beliefs, instead of, you know, what I wanted to accomplish for myself as a human being, as an independent woman in this world. And it took, you know, me to educate myself in order to get to that place. I took a women's study class. I took a history of religion class and things like that. And educating myself really helped get rid of the anger. I mean, I was raised in not just the church, but also a Christian school where everything I learned was filtered through religious belief. So I didn't even get a proper education. That made me angry too. Mm-hmm. And I think part of this process has been about re-educating myself and finding answers to questions I started asking in my teens that are more satisfactory to me today.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Thank you for that. That's a...
Well, I've thought about it a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. Clearly you
just
have.
A bit.
Okay. What would you like to be known for?
Storyteller.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's good. I mean, when it comes down to it, that's who I am and that's what I want to be. I think all of my career paths have all kind of been in that world. You know, I'm an actress, that's storytelling. I'm a playwright, obviously that is storytelling. In radio, it's theater of the mind. And often what I'm known for on, you know, the morning shows that I've been on in radio is my ability to tell a story. And I take great delight in it. And I'm going to apply that again to season 2 of Heaven Bent. I just want to tell you guys a really great story.
And deliver it in that binge-worthy way.
Yeah,
because,
I hope so.
Like I said, just even the way that it's put together, the sounds and the build-up and the introduction and everything about it, the music that you chose for it is, yeah, like mega kudos.
Hey,
girlfriend,
thank you.
You've got it.
Thank you so much. I'm really, really happy with how it came out in the end. Like, I honestly couldn't even be happier. Mm-hmm. But there's always that, what do they call it? When you're like, someone's going to figure out pretty soon, I can't do this. Why is anyone trusting me? You know, imposter syndrome, right? Just that, okay, I pulled off season 1, but now I'm going to try season 2 and I'm going to crap the bed. And then they're going to know that I don't have the ability to, no, you know what? I can do this.
Yeah, you just
so every time those thoughts, I proved it to myself. I can do this. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping maybe those imposter syndrome feelings are going to go away,
yeah.
But whatever, they're still there.
I think that's pretty common for just humans in general, just to have something like that when you're overcoming things and you're trying new things. And
yep. When are they going to bust me?
Yeah. And when you produce something that you're super proud of, it's, yeah, I don't know. I feel like that's very human of you to feel that way. Okay. So my last question here for you, the safe haven style one, is if you had a message for everyone listening, what would it be?
Let me give it a think. There's a lot of things I could say. Well, I mean, I think it probably just ties back to a specific type of audience member that I'm getting for Heaven Bent. And those are the people like me who were raised in the church, specifically a charismatic church where things got weird, and that it's okay to question it, that you can come out the other side feeling wiser, bolder, happier, not as confused. And that it doesn't mean that you're going to hell just because you question your religious upbringing. That there are even people that are still in the church who encourage this type of curiosity, especially when it's done with a kind of respect for people's religious beliefs. And I hope that Heaven Bent can be that space where even if you're uncomfortable questioning things that your parents taught you or what you believe religiously or spiritually, like this can be a space for you to sort of... poke around and maybe come up with some alternative answers that might surprise you.
Mm-hmm. I love it. And then Is there anything else that you would like for your listeners to know about you or about what makes you who you are?
Well, I think maybe we even touched on it. I don't know if we were recording, but right off the bat of our conversation, we talked about kind of like this secret that we actually spend a lot of time on these stories and podcasts. You know, this is not something that we just wing together. I almost feel like embarrassed how many hours, like woman hours, I put in to building this podcast. But at the same time, I look back and go, you know what? I was a one woman show.
Yeah.
I did everything. I created it. I researched it. I edited it. I built it. I envisioned it. Mm-hmm. I made this happen. I created something out of nothing. And the joy that you can get from doing something like that, whether it's a painting, a poem, or a podcast, it's the kind of thing that we can get in our lives right now that give us sort of those positive vibes and those little jolts of just good. And I think right now with the pandemic, we need all the more of that in our lives. So if you've got a little creative juice in your life, put it to good use.
Yeah. I feel the same way about how much I put into my podcast, and I'm talking hours and hours and hours.
But
and
it's that's joyful work, isn't it?
I know.
It's good work.
Exactly. And that's why people are like, but you don't get paid to do it. I'm like, I don't care, because that's not why I'm doing it. I didn't just make up this beautiful space to get paid or in hopes of getting paid. It's a community. It's connecting people around the globe. It's starting really beautiful, crucial conversations around the world. And it's helping people feel less alone. And it's giving them something to think about. I mean, little nuggets of information or little words of wisdom, things like that. I don't know. It's in many ways, people ask about self-care and how people balance. This podcast is such a way for me to balance my own well-being because of how much passion and joy I find in it and for it.
I just like what you keep saying about, you know, just like you have created like a safe haven, a safe space for these conversations to happen. And it's palpable, you know, talking to you or even following you on Instagram or listening to an episode, you can feel the space that you've created. Mm. And it's not nothing. It's real. It's tangible.
Yeah, I appreciate that so much. I'm very, very much looking forward to season 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 and all of the seasons that are coming up.
You're putting
from
me to
Heaven
work there.
Bent. I know, girl. And I can't wait to hear more from what's coming from Heaven Bent. So thank you so much for your time today. Where can people find you on social media?
I'm at Tara Jean Online on Twitter and Instagram. And you can also friend me on Facebook. I'm friendly and I like to keep in touch. It's Tara Jean Stevens.
Love this. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you.
Tara Jean, thank you so much for joining me on The Safe Haven. I appreciate you so much, as well as your time, and I am so happy to have had you share your life stories and your podcast creation stories with me and my listeners. To everyone listening, I recognize the privilege that comes with my platform, and I am committed to creating a safe, brave, and inclusive space with intention. If this podcast episode has intrigued you, inspired you, or has left you with questions, I definitely encourage you to reach out. Please screenshot the screen while you're listening, send it to your friends, and share them in your social media accounts. Be sure to tag us so that we can personally thank you for it. If you're able to leave a review or leave a juicy 5-star rating, that really helps this podcast grow leaps and bounds. Please make sure that you check out, and highly likely will binge, Heaven Bent on Frequency Podcast Network. And for more great podcasts, check out frequencypodcastnetwork.com. And I will talk to you next week.